July 27th, 2023. It's the Walt Pedro Show.
I think the majority of musicians are interested in truth. You know, they got to be, because a musical thing is a truth. If you play make a statement, a musical statement, and it's a valid statement, that's the truth right there in itself, you know. And if you play something phony, well, you know that's phony, you know. And all musicians are striving for that near perfection that they can get. Mm-hmm. And that's truth there, you know. And so in order to play those kind of things, play truth, you've got to live with as much truth as you possibly can, you know.
Peter Show. Hey, Brother Matt.
Hey, we're back in action.
Yes, we're back in action. Another 13 minutes late.
We started
John Truby was early. We got our guest. He was early. We're late, but he was early.
Yes. And in fact, repeat performance, our guest.
Yes.
Well, we'll introduce him soon. First, let's tell him what we start the show off with John Coltrane. Then, When My Ship Rolls In, special request from Mr. Jack Brewer.
Cool. Happy birthday. Belated birthday greetings, Jack.
I think he was at the fucking Dean last week.
I think so. They had a big birthday party.
Yeah. Because I've been playing with Steve Reed.
Right.
Duet.
How bitchin'.
Bass and drums.
How cool.
Remember that bass and drum gig I went to at the bike? We're trying it with real bass. That guy was wild.
Yeah.
That was wild. Anyway, John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America.
Yay.
And all the way from Santa Rosa.
Welcome.
Once again.
Welcome back.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And this time, we've got a... Your own guitar.
Yeah, a real guitar.
Yes, a real guitar. I really love that Japanese piece of crap.
I think it was a nationalism thing.
Yeah.
Where's that one made?
In the USA by Hugh Schick. He has Hugh Tone Guitars. He designs and builds his own guitars. A friend of mine, he played trumpet in the Ugly Janitors on the second album. But he builds guitars, and this is called Little Boy Blue by Hugh Schick, built at Hugh Tone Labs.
It's beautiful
guitar.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, no, he lives in L.A., in Studio City, Sherman Oaks, I think.
Where you're staying?
I'm staying in North Hollywood for the week.
Which is close.
Yeah, close, yeah.
Some Val. He's just over the hills, brother.
Yeah. Mm.
A little sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's Santa Rosa? Is it sweaty?
I love Santa Rosa. We're 26 miles from the coast, so we get nice moderate breezes. It gets a little warm sometimes. I love it up there.
Yeah.
It's just wine country. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Love it.
I think it was the last stop of the Camino Real.
Almost there. I know that
the final
mission was in Sonoma, and Sonoma's in the region, and that's where the final 21st mission was. Mexican mission.
You're Marin in Sonoma's its own county, right?
That's right. So we're north of Marin.
And what's Cotati? Is that Sonoma?
Cotati is a small little hippie town, a couple towns south of us. We were in the beginning, and the hippies used to live there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There was rich hippies in Marin, right?
Yeah.
Because years ago, in the late 80s, I was playing gigs in Sonoma and Cotati.
Fun.
Sonoma, the county, the city, the town.
Sure.
Yeah. Also, Russian River, Guerneville.
Yes, Guerneville, Russian River, Rio Negro.
Right.
Beautiful area. Yeah.
Right. Floods.
Sometimes.
I remember playing the theater and there was a watermark.
Yeah. If you're in the by the Russian River, so I wouldn't buy property by the Russian River.
Especially these days.
Yeah, floodplain. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, how many months has it been?
March through July. Oh. So how many months is that? Five? Great. Well, it's nice to see you again.
Yeah, welcome back.
What has happened to you in the meantime?
I'm retired. I feel happy.
Yeah.
I busk. Can you hear me okay on the board? You picking up my microphone? Okay. I love to play guitar more than anything else in the world, and I love to read. I've been busking at supermarkets, going and playing, putting out the tip jar. I play for a couple hours. I can make anywhere from $30 to $70 or so for a couple hours. To me, that's good money, because the most money I ever made in any of my shit jobs was $20 an hour.
So, you ain't retired.
What?
You didn't retire.
I retired, but now I'm playing music, which is not work. It's play. It's fun. I'm getting back to childhood fun.
Cool.
All I want to do.
But you also brought in this monetary part.
Yeah, I love to play guitar, but money is just a practical necessity. Yeah. I'm not greedy. We live in America where everybody's materialistic and greedy and piggish and stuff. Money is just a tool. It's a practical necessity to have a happy, good life anywhere. You need a little money just to live and everything. But this voracious thing of always needing more it makes all the sickness and craziness. So I'm retired now. I need a little cash flow coming in.
But you'll collect money doing art.
Yeah. So I get paid for
what
I love.
Material?
Yeah.
Do you improvise in the moment, or do you come out there with a repertoire?
No, I have about 50 to 100 tunes, a lot of cover tunes, Motown, Reflections, Mountain High Enough, Monday, Wichita Lineman, all these from the 60s,
yeah.
And then I have a collection of my originals I play. I play some Beatles, some Strawberry Fields, Eleanor Rigby. People love it when you play a tune that they recognize.
Yeah.
You could play originals all day. If nobody recognizes it, they don't cue into it. You play something that they're familiar with, and they get happy.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is there a point where it gets to karaoke or jukebox?
What do you mean?
Like, you take I guess jazz people would have called it a standard.
Yeah.
Because, right, people don't get to practice
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know this tune, I don't. Yeah. But we're going to reinvent it our way.
Yeah, when I play these cover tunes, I make my own arrangements of it.
You give them enough so they recognize.
Right. Also, since it's a slow guitar, I don't have to play in tempo. I don't have to make an exact cover. I don't have any instruments to play with.
Yeah.
So the tempo is always rubato. It's always coming, flowing, and I play, and so I'm really loose with the tempo and speed it up and slow it down and goof it up. I can even make mistakes, and nobody listens to it, and they still put money in the tip jar. It's great.
You know, John Coltrane, some guesses why he went, you know, that intersteral space with Rashid Ali, just playing with a drummer, because you didn't have to worry about chord changes.
Yes.
So it's just a practical thing that enters into the art aesthetic thing.
Absolutely. And it frees you up if you don't have to be in tempo with the band.
Yeah, right. Like Django, right? No amplifiers yet, right? So it's everybody against the horn. So what you do is you make a band with no horns.
Yeah.
Like Django, right?
Exactly, yeah.
You don't have to compete.
Yeah.
You have another guy on guitar and, you know, whatever, but no big loud horns.
Mm. Yeah.
Until Charlie Christian gets
his record.
But interesting about that, a means to an end instead of an end to a means.
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Right on.
Okay. Look, you gave me this tune, Man of Action.
Man of Action.
Who's singing?
That's Lori Amott. She's a beautiful singer. She used to be in The Resonance. She toured recorded with The Resonance. She was based in San Francisco for many years, where I met her, and now she lives in Rhode Island. How I met her, in 2003, there was this big festival, these San Francisco weirdos doing the Dada Fest, and it was all this wacky music and stuff happening for a couple days. I saw this woman singing this beautiful, she was actually reciting poetry and half singing to a lap steel guitar through flanger, and she's reciting this poem by James Dickey, and it was just beautiful. In fact, she has a beautiful voice. I want her in my band. I want to record with her if I ever get. So a couple of years later, I got some money together, and then I had to look around for a flyer from the Dada Fest to find out what her name was, so I could look her up on the internet. I contacted her, and we've had a very good collaboration ever since.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
James Dickey, by the way, Deliverance.
Yeah, Deliverance. Yeah, he was a poet, too, wrote poetry.
I don't know about his poetry, but I think I read somewhere.
Yeah, you know, he's well known as a poet. I haven't really read anything, but the poem was about an actual real-life incident where the stewardess, they call them flight attendants now, but back in the old days, they were stewardesses.
Ladies.
The door of an airplane blew open over Kansas, and she was sucked out of the airplane.
That happened to a lady in Hawaii!
Yeah, and she fell down into a cornfield, and James Dickey's poem was based on that news item in the newspaper. He was imagining her falling down to the ground.
Did she live?
No, she died.
Because this lady in Hawaii, it was corrosion on a 737.
Whoa.
The whole panel. This guy said he was getting a drink from her. And then all of a sudden, that molly in.
Yeah, whoa. Yeah, it's scary stuff.
Wow, okay, Man of Action.
Yeah. Where you go, my friend, in your motor car, and you do your good, but you won't get far, because you're just a goddamn motherfucking asshole. And you strut around, Mr. Peanut Brain. Money and your guns. Well, you go cut ties
you can't minister to the world unless you're in it. But he left out the part about the church out there jumping your tail in a minute. We hold our hearts out there, that's what us songwriters do. But my arms got sore as all the years flow through. I'll tell you the truth, faking. What they'll toss over that penultimate limb will be the road of your own making. You know, if an eye could hold the sea of booze I've sailed on all these years, you'd bet your life and your sweet wife you might drown in all those tears. To see the mess my kids went through breaks my own heart first. To think this lion got out his cage and showed the world its worst. I tell you the truth, I ain't lying. What they'll weave into that gossip rope will be the strings of your own tying. I'll tell you the truth, and I ain't faking. What they weave into that rope will be the threads of your own. Lord, throw us a safety line, reach out your untouchable hand. 'Cause the captain's in his cups again, and we've lost sight of land. He promised all the ones he loves, the ones he calls his crew. I won't let go of the wheel this time, but the rudder broke in two. I'll tell you the truth, and I ain't faking. What they'll toss over that penultimate limb will be a rope of your own making. I'll tell you the truth, Lord knows I ain't faking. What they'll toss over that penultimate limb will be the rope. Ship's been in dry dock for a few months in this port. Some friends say take her out for a spin. Come on, be a sport. But one whiff of that foul trade wind would pull me back out the door. So I'll suffer through this hardtack and sweet tea on my port. I'll tell you the truth, and I ain't lying. What they weave into your hanging rope will be the strings of your own tying. I'll tell you the truth, and I ain't faking. What they toss over that penultimate limb will be the rope.
Hollywood is about as glamorous as my ass.
I don't believe in you, baby.
evangelists are concerned with clothes, cars, social status, celebrity, making it, and all that other crap, then it's no reason why we must follow them.
Show that chunk of music start off with John Tooby and Ugly Janitors America. What other ones are there? Man of Action. After that, Model Home and Wolf Eyes. Brand new collab, these cats. UI's trio version. Two good bands making a third. One plus one. One good one. Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard being another album.
Oh, man.
This guy every other month. Pull a rabbit out of your ass. Damn. Meet the Star. I mean, you topics, right? But he just looks at something and goes, okay, I'll write a song. FOD after that with Fan Service. Helco. One of the cats at FOD quit to make Helco. So there's a connect. Just stop singing like that. And this is the Reprise version. I remember Reprise because the label, right? Frank Sinatra's, right? Columbia. It means again, right? Mm. Reprisal, and revenge. Swenson Klein out of Canada with Scheme. Marissa Menzies with Iridescent. I got turned on Todd Appers. Right, Pedro,
Living
up northwest now. And then here's a treat. This will date you. Calling your song Ronald Reagan.
Oh man.
Okay. Agriculture brand
Reagan
new.
Blues.
We like. It's a dance tune. Troposphere, brand new. M.B. Jones. Troposphere 7 with Toko Zonga. Creation Rebels. I think this is the first recorded in 4 years. Swiftly, the right one. Then Brett H. Hart on North Carolina, Greensboro area. And I got asked to do bass for this.
Oh, cool.
It's called The Rope. Heavy tune. Heavy tune. And finally, Angelic Overview. John Tooby. So first, I want to get to Angelic Overview.
Sure.
Hip us to Man of Action.
Man of Action. A lot of my tunes are earworms into my head. And sometimes I get these infantile, silly melodies that sound like they might be appropriate on a children's record. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. It's, you know, like a jingle or something. It's my head. I have these fucking things for years in my head, driving me crazy. And then I start putting lyrics to it. And I put lyrics to things that I think about. And I'm very socially maladjusted. So I think dark thoughts, and I think ugly thoughts that most normal, well-adjusted people don't think about. Resentments and grievances, and well, actually, resentments and grievances are all over America. It's actually normal now. Anyhow.
Oh, there's that word again.
So one of my peeves throughout life, and this is probably for a lot of people in general, we go through life and we do our best and we follow the rules and we try to get along with people, but there's always somebody pushing ahead in line or somebody that's full of shit and they're talking shit and they act like they know something. They're full of confidence, or they think because they're rich they're better than other people, or they drive a fancy car so that elevates them. And this irritates all the rest of us that don't have that confidence or that money or that fancy objects. And so we resent, there's a certain resentment in human nature. And I was feeling that and expressing that and thinking of this generic, arrogant, son of a bitch, wealthy guy, but also cruel and mean and stupid and arrogant and dishonest. And it almost describes people we actually know and, you know, in real life and politics. And so I was just boiling down all those qualities, and I put it in this sing-songy song. And there's profanity in the song. What's also cool about having these catchy melodies and also having a girl sing it, having a woman sing it, is I have these dark thoughts and I have these songs with profanities. And if I put it to a jingly melodic line and I have a woman sing it, it's like putting rat poison in a piece of candy. I can deliver the rat poison in a piece of candy, and it's acceptable because she has a beautiful voice and it's a nice melody, but it's all this screw you attitude in the lyrics. So that's what I love with my lyrics. It's subversion and expressing these antisocial thoughts. And actually, in a lot of ways, in the world of art and music and culture, the whole purpose of it is to sort of subliminate or express these thoughts that we can't express. When we're little kids, we want things, we want to scream and cry, we want to get things, and we need to control ourselves. So we control ourselves, but we feel this frustration and pain and wanting things and sorrow, and we can't express it. And the arts is a beautiful way to express all these dark, hostile feelings and sadness and sorrow, in a way that's socially acceptable. And nobody gets hurt, nobody dies, yet we can express all this darkness in this music and then go home and not be damaged or anything. That's the arts is a safety valve for all the darkness in the human psyche that is otherwise unacceptable to express in real life. You know,
and the language ain't there, but the feelings are there, so art can get beyond this shortcoming of language.
Isn't it better to actually play an angry punk song and expressing out rather than getting to a bar fight and jabbing somebody's eye out and stabbing and then being in Pelican Bay for the rest of your life? Probably better to play that, get that music out in a song rather than being locked in jail for the rest of your life.
You've got to pay out here at Harold's place. So I remember dudes in front of the head. Got their leg out. They're just waiting for you to fucking trip them out. They're gossip. No, this is how they get their jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, get all fucked up and then have wait for that ass. So you could be a bigger ass. Yeah, and like you say, if you could mitigate that kind of shit with some artistic expression.
I admit, whatever hostile feelings, angry feelings, I'm a human being. We all have these feelings, but there's appropriate ways to express them and there's inappropriate ways to express them. Art is such a beautiful safety valve, and when I do my music, what I'm doing is working through a lot of conflicts in my life. You know, I was yelled at a lot as a kid, and I saw the hypocrisy of all the stuff that the adults have. And also, I'm one of these people that spends a lot of time alone, and I obsess, and I think about, well, I did what I was supposed to do, and it didn't work out, and I live in my head, and I have this circular thing in my head that comes out in the music lyrics, all this craziness, the stuff that I can't deal with.
For example, Angelic Overview,
that was sort of a contrived track. At the time, in the 1980s, briefly, I had a fleeting era of notoriety where I had records out and my name was in the press a little bit locally.
Blind Man Penis.
yeah, Blind Man's Penis, because of Blind Man's Penis. So I had this fleeting notoriety in the 1980s that I enjoyed. And then it all went away, and now I'm Mr. Invisible Nobody, and I'm okay with doing that. But anyway, in the 1980s, when I enjoyed this fleeting notoriety in the music community in Los Angeles, Harvey Kubernick invited me to come down to Radio Tokyo Studio. You've been there. With Ethan James. Ethan James.
Abbott Kenny was called there were three Washingtons. It's very easy to get lost.
Yeah, Washington Boulevard there.
That's right.
In Venice, yeah. And we just...
It should be named after Abbott Kenny. It was his baby.
Yeah,
baby.
He was the dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so Harvey and I and Ethan James, we just put together the track. It was actually Ethan James and I. The track is actually, I had him do a beat in 7/4 or 7/8. So it's an oddball thing on a drum machine, and I'm just ranting.
Lin
this.
Drum.
Yeah.
He had a Lin drum.
Yeah, he had all
you
this.
You know what? He ended up.
Yeah.
Building his own hurdy-gurdies, doing guest appearances for the San Francisco Philharmonic.
Whoa.
As featured... Pretty good.
Wow. Yeah, and he's
cancer got him 56, 57.
And he's no longer with us. Yeah. He's
what about Harvey? Yeah. Harvey still around?
Harvey is.
Harvey's still around. Yeah,
email
somewhere.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
Look right at the end of the first hour, July 27th, 2023. Just want Peter's special guest John Tooley again.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
We'll take our two. July 27th, 2023. It's the second hour of What for Pedro's show.
Thank you. Yeah. the way of the world under the Lord, under the Lord. Hallelujah. Evil one, you are not my son. Leave or be. Evil one, you are not my son. Leave or be. Beneath the weight of the world, you must be crushed beneath the weight of the world. Under the Lord, under the Lord.
Show started off the second hour. John Truby. I've been enlightened to the fact there's only one magnificent March of the Dead Monkeys, and that's what you just heard. Healers after that. Illinois, but right on the border with Indiana. This is Jamie. Really cool cat. He did his own version of T Boone's Car Jam off Double Nickels.
Cool.
Doing a cover of a. Don't run into a car. Okay.
Classic.
Yep. Sarah Oswald and Felder Melder with Memories of Essential Ignorance. That's a title. Brendan Etter Ensemble with Retirement. Don't know it. Rent Party out of Chicago, Stowaways. Stanislav Zavich, his sister Snez.
Oh.
Samuel Locke Ward, Iowa City, Under the Lord. He's on tour right now with Bob Buckle Jr. I think they're playing the Half Japanese Fest. There's a festival for that band, Half Japanese.
Oh.
Yeah. But the main man can't make it. His brother got hurt or something. Noisuke after that, MB2. Oh, yeah, Under the Lord. Sorry, Sam. Emily Dickens. Yeah, I did a Kill Rockstar spiel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, I don't like to wear shoes or shirts inside. Yeah. Some people get freaked out when I see that. I ain't trying to fuck with it. And it's neck up. I ain't being Kevin Spacey. He got off on that stuff, right?
Yeah, he had some weird things, I guess.
He said he felt grateful, so maybe it was escape. It was a escape. Crane has been working with Emily. She needs your lyrics, brother, man, because she's working with Emily Dickinson.
Oh, man, I got to get on it.
Remember, she said, I want to be known as a gardener more than a poet. So, yeah. Crane scraping a barrel? She loves some good stuff. These Fingered Days. Ray Shin out of Reno after that with Unhinged Malady. What's the other kind? Oh, the Hinged Malady? Okay. No belligerent. And finally, John Truby with Benediction for the Monkey. I thought that would go good with much.
Yeah.
But lightness to the fact. So I love the stories. It goes with you. It ain't just writing a song, right? It's almost like you're trying to get something like you were talking about some kind of therapy.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's almost a society's having a therapy by using arts.
Yes.
But also, it's a day in the life.
Yeah.
It's almost a diary entry.
Sure.
It's also a work.
Yeah.
Right? He gets going, wow, that worked with that. That worked with, what if I put that with that?
Impressions of life.
Okay. So tell. Were these two tunes ever related, except for both you having Monkey in the name?
Was it Benediction for the Benediction? Yeah. I vaguely remember that. That's I think was a Benediction for the. And there was Magnificent March of the Dead Monkeys. Is that
that's one?
Okay. When I was first in L.A., did a recording session. And got a bonus of money at Christmas time. I was making $5 an hour. I got a bonus of like $400. I took it and blew it and put it reserved some studio time at City Recorders, which is a little studio off of Sunset Boulevard down near Gower. And
Gower Gulch.
Yeah, Gower Gulch, that area. And we went in and did a 4-song demo. At the time, I was writing the tunes. The band was put together with me. I was always the leader. I'd just call musicians that I knew. There was Chris Wall from the Flesh Eaters playing percussion. Andy Gordy, amazing studio LA percussionist, playing drums there. Jack Vies, bass player in Ugly Janitors, a lot of other stuff. Jim Simcoe on soprano sax, John Sharkey on keyboards, me on guitar. And it recorded these four.
John Sharkey played a lot with you.
Yeah, on and off. And yeah, he was great. He was a good friend. And recorded these four tunes and put it on a cassette. So that's the point of that. I just wrote a nifty melody. It was sort of, it was somewhat inspired by Ennio Morricone. You know, the sure. nice melodies. And
he was a trumpet man.
Yeah, he played
but
trumpet.
But you could tell how he, yeah. he dug the surf guitar.
Yeah, so at that point I was writing melodies sort of inspired by him. And I took the tunes and some other stuff, and when I was promoting myself, I would dub these demo songs onto cassettes that I'd hand out to musicians when we played in clubs. And I got a record deal out of that, and I could tell you briefly about that. I don't want to make it too long because I know you have other stuff to get onto. Funny story, back, and this is all, it all relates. It's a really weird story. Back in the early 70s, Zug Zwift recorded,
I was going to ask you about Zug.
Zug recorded a bunch of tunes with his band Zobis, and he took,
but this is on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, on the East Coast. And Zug went into New York. Zug lived in Parsippany, New Jersey, but spent months going into New York City to try to sell the demo tapes to try to get a record deal. He wanted to get a record deal. He went to Sire Records. He ran into
Seymour.
Seymour Stein. But he met a guy named Craig Leon, record producer.
I got to play the first Ramones album with him. He produced the first.
Yes, exactly. And so Craig Leon was very well established, the Blondie and Talking
That's
Heads
right,
and other
right.
people. Yeah. So anyway, Zug's went to Sire Records, presented the tapes to Craig Leon, and Craig Leon just brushed it off. He said, this is not commercial, this is no good, we'll never fly, blah, blah. So Zug's would always tell the story about Craig Leon being this arrogant guy that just gave him the brush off, this you know, badass, and became like the villain of the record deal. Oh, nobody recognizes my genius. I'm the great Zug Zwift, and nobody recognizes my genius. So that sort of thing, that hurt
that.
Artist sort of feeling. He'd tell the story. Ironically enough, okay, so I'm playing in Zug's band years later. And about
on
ten,
the West Coast.
Yeah, on the West Coast. In 1981, we're playing at Al's Bar with the Fibonacci's. I give one of my sampler tapes with Blind Man's Penis and my other tunes to Ron Stringer, guitarist of the Fibonacci's. A year later, because we're playing...
I know Joe Berardi.
Joe Berardi was in that band, too. So I met the Fibonacci's when we played at Al's Bar and gave Ron this tape, like promiscuously handing
we
out
lost
my...
Him, right?
Yeah, he died a few months ago, and great guy. One year later, there was a call on the payphone at work, Producers Film Center, this film vault I worked in Hollywood. Ron Stringer got on the phone and said, hey, we're in the studio with the producer, and I played him Blind Man's Penis, and he wants to press it up as a single with Enigma Records. Would you like to do it? I said, sure, Enigma. sure. I want it really, really badly. I wanted to put out records more than I ever wanted to lose my virginity. I wanted it really, really badly. I can't express to you how badly I wanted to put out a record and just do it, and not to be rich or famous, just to make a record. And here I got my chance just by handing out my sampler cassette. We went into the studio. The producer was Craig Leon. The producer was Craig Leon, the bad guy who snubbed Zooks. And so not only was Craig Leon putting out a record by the Fibonacci's, but he was helping put out my record. And I don't know if I talked to Zooks about it, but I can imagine Zooks was supremely pissed off about the whole thing because his buddies got to put out records through Craig Leon, where Craig Leon snubbed them years ago. Ultimately, Zooks put out a bunch of records on SST, so everybody got what they wanted, and it all has a happy ending, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
I thought
now the Blind Man Penis record that came out of Nashville.
Yeah.
You don't know those musicians, right?
I have no idea. No.
Yeah, they're just some canned kind of
yes.
little staff that works on everything.
I just sent them the lyrics, and they sent me back the tape. That was all it was. Yeah. Never met them.
So the cat, the mill, or whatever they got, the factory.
It's one guy working in an office, and he pretended like he, Ramsey Kearney, the singing artist, was different from the writer, Will Gentry. They were the same person.
Well, what about the cats playing? There had to be a little
I think he probably recorded a music library of all this shit, and there was you could get a simple version with just voice and piano, or you could get the full production that had the pedal steel guitar and the snare drum with slapback echo and shit. And I wanted the full production, so I paid $79.95.
The whole enchilada.
Right, exactly.
That's great. And so. The only connection between the two Monkey tunes is their John Truby tunes. They weren't really. They're different.
They're not related. Worlds, Benediction for the Monkey.
You're in a different place in your life.
Yeah, that was just a rant. We were playing that comes from a live recording at Madame Wong's in Chinatown.
A new wave place.
And they invited us to play there, and the band was not rehearsed, and the band just consisted of synthesizers. Me on Mini Moog and John Sharkey on his keyboard. And so we just had a bunch of synthesizers, and we just went there and made noise, improvised noise, with me screaming my weirdo poetry over it, and that was the show. It was abysmal. I made some performances that were not well rehearsed at all, were just total shit. I feel sort of ashamed of it, but it was fun, and I have recordings of it, and my feeling is, if you want me to do really nice, well-produced stuff, give me a budget or book the gig like months in advance so we have time to rehearse for it. But at the time, I was working my shit job. I had no money, and somebody asked me to play at a job. It's like some girl saying, would you like to get laid? Yeah, I'd like to get laid. Oh, I forgot my rubber, but yeah, let's get laid. Yeah, it's like that. It's like I was giving opportunities to do this stuff, and I threw myself into it, sometimes unprepared. I have no regrets whatsoever. You want perfection, you want really something really fine, give me a fucking budget. But if you don't give me a budget, I'm going to walk into that battlefield anyway. I don't give a fuck.
No. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And she was I saw some gigs there. She would like... I saw her throw the bags to stop playing. Same music.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but...
Joanna Wang?
No, the lady who...
Yeah, Madame Wong. Yeah,
she, you know, the lady who ran that bag.
Yeah, I don't think
and
I met her.
She stopped the bags. I was watching a bags gig there. Because the real pad in that area was Hong Kong Cafe. That's the one I liked.
Yeah.
But sometimes there'd be a gig, and I saw the bags, and she made them stop playing. She said, this ain't music.
Yeah. Hey, I had a old lady argument one time with Helen at Helen's place,
yes,
the Anti Club.
One
of the first thing I had my band there was called Van Zelm and the Geeks before the Ugly Janitors, same guys. And I'm doing this rant about money is a bitch and how, you know, money is so oppressive and how we fight and kill for money and it's all bullshit and we're killing ourselves for money. And I had a paper bag of fake money from like a game, you know, kids play money. And I said, you bitch. You whores, you want money? Here's your fucking money. I rope open the bag and I'm throwing out the piles of money on the anti-club floor. Bah! Have your fucking money. Have your fucking money. And the band's going crazy behind me and just playing 2D or triple F loud, obnoxious. Here, have your fucking money. Have your fucking money. And it's such an obnoxious thing to say here in America where everybody worships money, to have this jerk madman saying screw you to money. I mean, it's not allowed. We don't do that stuff. But that's what art's for. It's like saying screw you and getting away with it, and being the contrarian voice. So after that, all the money was on the dance floor in front of the stage. And Helen came with me with a long broom, and she said, "You sweep that up. You made a mess."
Remember, there was a band called Turds from Space, and what they did, the guy was beating the fucking deck with a 2x4, and she's like, "What's the matter with you? You fucking nut? You crazy nut? People trying to sleep." So they took that example and sold it all over. "What's the matter with you? You know, you're supposed to like sit down and like seriously answer." But Matt, I think it's time to get some fucking
right
cyclage.
Right on.
So you got to. Co-conspirator.
Right on. We're going to do it way better this time. Okay. John got a real guitar.
Yeah, well, it might still be shitty, so I can't.
Okay, bring it.
Thank you.
Matt, what made you do what you did to us today with your cyclage?
Well,
I know.
I didn't do much except for messing things up. Okay. That was my part, was messing things up. John, you're awesome with a great guitar.
Oh, just having fun.
Yeah. So we just had to put on a side of Tangerine Dream.
Yeah.
And that was about it for my part, other than fucking that up.
It was the Well, we're at the end of the second hour. July 27th, 2023, Dish Well Pedro Show, special guest, John Truby, Hotel Air 3. July 27th, 2023, it's the third hour of the Walk for the Pedro Show.
darkness and rain was hiding their boats. Only their side lights were visible, bright, blinding. They appeared 50 foot high, great shadows of mountains, and began firing. Shells, shells, brass, heavy shells, hot, burning bullets that fit as they hit the sea. Believing perhaps this was blank shell, fish were offered, held at arm's length, even thrown into the air, for fishing they were. Lawful calling in the North Sea. But this naval cared not for their nature. The trawlers helpless to what proceeded. Shell, shell, brass, heavy shell, hot burning bullets that fit as they hit the sea. Hot in seizure as they entered the bodies, fitting with blood as it spilled on deck, tearing holes in places where holes should not be. In moments they stood with their arms aloft, facing the bullets that cut the green air, surrender and victory. So similar a stance, but they could not stand forever unless they wished themselves dead. Tethered to the sea, to the bullets, bruised casing of human skin. Flex inward the navel, the trawler, the bullet and water and wood and sky, together. After shell, shell, pound like shell, light bone cold, skipper, sister, brother, father. As the violence pushed, they assume themselves lost, with nothing more than the dance, and to lay down with the shattered bones, the retreating dream statues, fantasies of heroes. Shell, shell, dancing shell, what do you dream of? Do you wish to enter human flesh, or merely to fly? Boats, so near they could see the deck. See, the deck was gutting fish, for that is what it were. Gutting fish, slicing bellies, removing tubes, thin, flexible innards that crush in your thumb. Let nothing to explain our real nature. Seems we too will be sunk one after another, without explanation or proper meaning. Ancient and modern, in confused states, cutting our nets, cutting away. Later in quiet, the moonlight observed the waves had returned to their gentle shimmer. Glistening fish, scaling radiance with beauty barely visible above the surface. Wonder, unabated, untethered, below the line where wind and water meet. Foolish land folk litter sea. sink into depths, their vehicles of flight. Fingerprints linger on some of those remains, gifted and collected at the bottom of the bin of life. The legacy of sea battles is not visible. They appear efficient, clean, they are not so. There is always a victor, even when all appear to lose. Some precious thing is rubbed away, some irrevocable change. Where wind and water meet, lights dipped below the waves and reappeared in disguise. An abstract where murder lies. The chamber of aggression, bullying the sky to the point it closed to the great vector of the waves, who spares no concession to the landfolk, no emotion to the gun. Cling together, they turn inward and protect, find the shortest path to safety. Wounds cling to the sinking depth, hiding with splinters where timbers meet. Flecks of blood, pieces of flesh, becoming translucent, smaller and smaller until changed, freed from the body that held them, freed to slip into the icy water, unchained, changed, but definitely there, not lost, becoming new. The face, the most precious place, the eyes, the lips, the speech. What face now exists? Not some mythical beast, but neither human stink from the octopus, the water weaves through it. Structures entwined and erred. Blood woven with the essence of others, of history, of human, of fish, of mammal buried in the seabed. The face becoming sea, becoming the seabed, and then the river, and then the riverbed, and then the land, and deeper into the earth, into the core, and becoming fire and fuel, and again into the sky, and again rain down on the place where it died. Blood gathered in moments against the waves. But what did it speak? Of fear, of relief, of no longer being of tongue but an assemblage of sea. What could he know of the depths that we fear so much? Breaking the tethers that keep us grounded. Convention, tradition. No longer optioned with simple directions when the world is both above, below and shifting. No longer reaching. More becoming that which surrounds. And what of the language? Not words, not speech, but something more closely a feeling, formed with the thoughts of others who have bled into the sea, freed and then tethered again, an enduring harmony. Past, present, future, circling the waves, a catalogue of graves. Submerged forests, towns, memorials of wood, rope, sails. Broken lamps that used to guide the deck, illuminate the fish. By some chance they still hang upright, not alight in our sense, but a guiding path into the sunken remains of trawlers. Does light from above ever return and read the posts and timbers? What if time is not consecutive or paused for years? And what of the memories that went down too? This trawler no less a home than brick or stone, a name, a number, a painted funnel, as visible as the signs on our street. Moonlight, again, catches the flexing waves. The sheets of tin that open and close, that open on occasion to take in. Breached ropes, ghosts. Extra worlds shimmer and squeeze. Once below, near impossible to return above. It closed, welded shut, riveted, sealed. gaze upon it but go no further. At times translucent, at times a mirror. The sky captured quickly during a storm. The beautiful changes decorate the tide.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off third hour with mental illness can be beautiful. And then we had Vanishing. This is Moonlight Observed Parts 1 and 2. And John Truby after that, the world has gone insane today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Now, people. So, in likeness, do you remember the periods of time when you wrote these?
Yes, I do. If you write the, if you name me the title, I'll tell you about
mental
the lyrics.
Mental illness can be beautiful.
Mental illness can be beautiful. I was given the chance to record an album by Restless Records. They had some studio time down at Mad
Enigma.
Dog.
Enigma.
Yeah. It was actually Restless Records, their spin-off label.
Yes, yes.
Ron Gowdy said they had some time.
Ron Gowdy.
They had some time down at the
studio. A couple years ago.
Yeah, he passed away. Yeah.
I've seen him a few times. He had moved to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So I'd see him on tours.
Cool. Yeah. He was one of the Enigma.
Remember he had that band in Long Beach.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with
the
band. Yeah.
But Bemis, there was a guy in the band named Jimmy Bemis. So
yeah.
They called him like Bemis.
Yeah, Bemis. Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah. So,
Ron
Gowdy invited me to bring my band in to record. They had some free studio time down at Mad Dog Studio in Venice. So I
remember Mad Dog, Ron Lincoln.
Yeah. So I had to come up with some material really quick and call my band together. We had hardly any time to rehearse as usual. And I was at home messing around with the guitar and made up this weird sort of ethnic sounding scale on guitar. And I wrote out all the pitches were on the note, and I composed all the tune based on this weird scale. And I had Larry Lajmer on bassoon playing in tandem, I think, with a trombone or trumpet. There were a couple horns there, just playing the same weird melody line. And then I played a spastic guitar solo at the end. But it's like an invented weird scale for that tune. Yeah.
And any reason why mental illness. Something like that, right? Title
yeah.
means a lot.
Right. And there's people that actually have mental illness, and it's not a happy thing. It's not a good thing.
Right.
I wrote it when I was in my mid-20s, 26, 27. I don't know. Young men in general have the sense of irreverence and screw you. And I can't speak for others. I'll speak to myself. I had a sense of irreverence and screw you.
We might share this.
Yeah.
Were you influenced by Mad Magazine?
Yes. Weren't
we
all?
Me.
Right.
Yeah.
What was great?
Well, I think cats grew up without that.
Yeah. What was great about Mad Magazine is it exposed all the lies of the adult world, all the hypocrisy and bullshit of Madison Avenue and entertainment and politics, and it was like talking to the kids. They say, essentially, Mad Magazine was saying, your parents are full of shit. You know, this is so that's what we love about Mad Magazine. In my 20s, and even still today, there's this prankish schoolboy in me, and this is Zugs used to say this the same thing. You look at the workaday world, you look at the social convention, you look at entertainment, and Zugs is looking at the, you know, having to work for a living, if you have to work for a living, all the social conventions, and we look at that, a thinking person, anybody with sensitivity or sensibility, looks at a lot of the stuff, the work and the world, says, you gotta be kidding me. This is a bunch of shit. You got to be kidding me. You know, this entertainment or this having to go to work for 8 hours a day doing shit and day after day, week, it's all a farce. It's crazy. And to fight back as a human being with a lot of energy and vigor, I said, this is crazy. I feel like a prisoner in all this stupidity. And so I used my irreverent humor and my aggressive humor as a screw you back to this world that looks insane to me. And so I'm making a joke of mental illness, because in American culture there's certain topics we don't talk about. We don't talk about suffering and disease. It's not nice to talk about at the dinner table. We don't talk about death. We don't talk about sex, you know, in polite company. There's these taboos that we stay away from, as well as money. We don't talk about money. Where does money come from? I had this weird epiphany. My dad was a banker, and my parents were always very nervous and anxious and very controlling, and had this great reverence for people with money and rich people, and this great awe and reverence of this whole this thing about money, and it was this big god that we're supposed to worship. We found out later, after my mom died, she left a letter that she divorced my dad in the early 80s. It turned out he didn't have any money. They had this huge debt of $200,000 in 1980, which is like $750,000 today. And so they were fighting over money, which broke apart their marriage. So they're essentially terrified about money because they didn't have any, but they were trying to aspire to live this middle class life. Yes. So there's all these hypocrisies and lies in our lives. Death. I worked at the senior home, and over the course of me working there, over 100 people died. 100 seniors died.
Yeah.
But I never saw them carted out, and I made a game of wanting to look for them taking the dead person out, because in American culture we hide from death, we can't stand it. So I saw them wheel out a corpse two times in the 15 years that I was there, and this hearse comes to the side. The hearse doesn't look like a hearse anymore; it looks like an SUV. You can't tell it's a hearse. And they come in the side door. The guys come in really quickly with a gurney to the residence apartment. Put them on the gurney, put the blanket over them, and scoot them out as quickly as possible out the side door where nobody sees it. And I got to see it once just because I saw the hearse pull up. We hide death. There's these things we don't talk about in this culture. And again, what's cool in the arts, you can start talking about this badass stuff to get people to think about it. And the problem with having these taboos that we never talk about is if we don't talk about stuff, we don't think about stuff. And if we don't think about stuff, then we don't have any tools to confront these things in life we're going to have to confront, like sex, like death, like money. Where do you make money? Like disease, and all these tragedies of life. If we're always going to hide it and not think about it, and so in the arts is a way that you can get into that stuff and throw it in people's faces and get away with it. Yeah, but if you go to a cocktail party and start talking about death and mortuaries, people are going to kick your ass right out. But in artwork, or music, I can record all my smart ass lyrics and my fuck you lyrics and put it out there, and somebody might make a fuss. I don't give a fuck because it's out there and there's nothing you can do to hurt me. This is my statement. Screw you.
Great. I want to play Leper in the Shadows.
I'm a leper in the shadows, the one you sit upon. I'm just sending your light. magic club. You're a glamorous girl who won't live but guys with the bottom. You're mainstream and normal. Stunted mind doesn't grow too far. I'm painful and unpleasant. Offended by this song. You're a cripple and weakling who haven't the guts to defend. You're a helpless baby swallowed on up their meaningless path. You hate me 'cause I'm young and wrong and free. I may be poor, but you can't hurt me 'cause I'm a leper in the shadow. The one you spit upon, I'm spending your life and your big social game. I'm a leper in the shadows, the one you stop upon. I come for your children to lead them to hell. I'm a leper in the shadows, the one you spit upon. I'm spending your life and your big social game. I'm a leper in the shadows, the one you stop upon. I come for your children to lead them to God company. Your liars and cheaters, dummies and morons who run this world. Your painful woman uses her sex for material gain. Your businessman with greed in his eyes, turning the world into brass. Your everything that's cold. A vampire on the board of directors of Bank of America. I hate it 'cause I'm young and strong and free. I may be poor, but you can't hurt me 'cause I'm a leper in the shadow, the one you.
Thank you. Thanks, Measure. Thank you.
Pedro Show last music for this edition. John Truby started off the chunk with Leper in the Shadows. Then the Space Major, one time only band, live in 2019, Cafe Neller. Now they're doing Syd Barrett's Interstellar Overdrive. Or Pink Floyd, Syd Barrett. Eugene Chadbourne, Memories of Morlaix. Great guitar man.
Yes.
Yeah. John Truby, finally. Drowning Grover Norquist in a bathtub. I mean, where else would you drown him? Teaspoon of wash? I mean, provocative title, right?
Yeah, you know the story about Grover Norquist. But he said that...
So, very ripe.
Yeah. He said we ought to drown the federal government in a bathtub. And...
But that's a wet dream of these.
Of the libertarians, yeah. And they want to kill a referee so they can go out in the playing field and kill each other.
Well, they want to be butch.
Yeah. They don't want to pay
taxes. So hard.
Yeah. They don't want to pay taxes and have no funding for social programs. So you have a few people sitting on top of the hill and everybody else crawling and shit. And that's not the society I want to live in. So that's my response to Grover Norquist. We'll drown you in the bathtub and not the government.
Now, in 4 months from now, where are you going to be? Santa Rosa?
Santa Rosa? Yeah. November? Yeah. Actually, my niece, Mackenzie, she lives near me with her boyfriend, fiancé, Brian, in Novato, and they're coming down to Palm Desert and be married at my brother's restaurant. So I'll be there for the wedding in November. Yeah.
Well, I'll be coming back from a tour, but maybe, what about December? Can you come back on the show?
Maybe. Sure. Are you inviting me?
Absolutely.
Whoa. Aren't you fed up with my shit? Haven't you played all my songs already? Haven't I?
Give me look, I got a bunch of CDs sitting at home.
Okay.
Or you can give me a batch of your preferred.
No. You decide. It's your show.
There's a choice.
You have your pile of the shit there. Pull out what you want to do, and I'll be happy. I'm not fussy. I only made that request from Jack Brewer because Jack. But after I sent you the email, Jack asking for that request, I said, "Oh, wait a minute. It's Mike's show, and he wants it to go a certain way." And I'm like, I'm asking him, and I'm being the messenger boy for Jack Brewer, and this is stupid. So I wanted to apologize. And next time, if somebody asked me, I said, just ask Mike directly. Don't make me your messenger boy. You know. But I like Jack.
Truth be told, I played it first.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, December would be fine. I'm always looking for an excuse to travel and have adventures.
20 December.
Yeah.
I turned 66.
Okay. What? December what?
20.
Is that the date you want to do this?
Think about it.
No thinking. I've already decided. Yes.
Brother Matt, thank you so much for your always essential aid and abet. People, it's been the January 27th, 2023 edition of the Watt for Pedro. So keep your powder dry.